It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Sandra Smith, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, April 11th, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. O.J. Simpson, star athlete, hero, murder suspect, pariah, is dead. What is the legacy of the trial of the last century?
There is a two-tier justice system in our country based on race. We've seen that. At the same time, there's a two-tier justice system based on wealth.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
O.J. Simpson is dead. His family announced his death via his official account on the X social media platform, formerly known as Twitter. Simpson had been battling cancer and in recent photographs and videos appeared sickly. His death means the end of perhaps one of the most enduring but also dark American stories, the fall from grace of an icon revealed to be a person with awful secrets, and who many continued to blame for the gruesome murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman. He was acquitted of those crimes following a trial many viewed as tainted by fancy lawyering, capitalizing on racial strife, and plagued by courtroom bureaucracy. Simpson would later be found liable for wrongful death, and in the late aughts wound up in prison in Nevada for an armed kidnapping in which he claimed he was trying to retrieve stolen memorabilia from his football career, the football career that made him legendary, which most people forgot about.
OJ was implicated right at the get-go. So that's when it really started.
Longtime Fox News correspondent Eric Shawn was our man at the OJ Simpson trial in the mid-1990s. He joins Brian Kilmeade for a special look back on OJ Simpson, now on Fox Nation.
Suddenly, the Bronco chase, I remember being home, and it's half the Bronco chase and half the basketball game. I don't remember if those who remember that day to watching the big game.
I remember the split screen, yeah.
The split screen of the Bronco chase. So I would go out to L.A. from New York and cover the hearings. And then, of course, when the trial started, I lived in L.A. for the whole year covering the trial.
One of my biggest recollections from that time was this fall from grace of O.J. Simpson prior to the killing of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend, Ronald Goldman. O.J. Simpson just felt like this all-American good guy, that everything he touched turned to gold. He had truly the best rags-to-riches story that anyone could imagine. A kid from, I guess, public housing went on to become the most supremely known athlete and goodwill ambassador. He had endorsement deals. He had a movie career that was kind of burgeoning. Up until that very day, this was an American success story. And I think it should also be mentioned that he did this as, you know, he was an African-American. He kind of raised above that the issue of race. I think everyone loved him. He was welcomed into all upper echelons. So I think the fall from grace is perhaps one of the most interesting things about this. What would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was beloved. Football, Heisman Trophy, his talents on the gridiron. And then, as you said, in the movies, you remember the Hertz commercials running through the airport, jumping over the bags and people and God knows what. It was just a beloved, wonderful figure with such a sunny, positive disposition, so friendly, so positive. Yeah. And the dark side was never shown, or we never knew about that really until this trial. He had been arrested once for domestic abuse of his of Nicole, right, and he pled no contest to that. So there were some glimpses of that, but by and large, the American public loved and admired OJ. We all did.
Yeah, everyone did. This murder happens. This double murder happens. OJ is implicated. We have the chase in the Ford Bronco, but we get to the point where he's now under arrest, and then he's going to be tried. And this trial, up until this point, or I think, and I'm trying to remember the timeline with American media, I think Court TV kind of came about right around this same time where we started being able to watch trials in real time. Up until then, that really didn't happen. And what we saw was probably not the best example of our justice system. It showed it for all of its warts and pimples, I think, for the most part, which a lot of Americans may not have realized how boring sometimes a trial can be, or how many bumps in the road there can be in a prosecution, just getting through the paperwork of it all, if that's the right term. But all of a sudden, everyone knew the names of local prosecutors, Marcia Clark, Chris Darden. People all of a sudden saw who I guess used to be kind of like personal injury attorneys in terms of Johnny Cochran and Bob Shapiro, but getting joined by F. Lee Bailey and even Barry Scheck. And I think at one point, Alan Dershowitz and going through a very intricate trial. And then, of course, Judge Lance Ito, who people had their opinion on him as well. But this sort of changed, I think, the way Americans watch trials because they started watching trials.
You're absolutely right. Court TV had just started. I remember their presence. I was a resident of what we called Camp OJ, which was all the trailers and outside the courthouse itself. I had been in the courtroom. When I first went into the courtroom, it was actually much smaller than it appears on television. That was my first impression. Yeah. The second was OJ owned that courtroom. Even though Lance Ito, Judge Ito was on the bench, it was OJ's room. He's sitting right there, right in front of you. There are only a few rows, like five, maybe six at most. It was a very small room, and OJ loomed over the whole room as he did over the whole proceedings. And you're right, we saw the criminal justice system, both positive and negative, and it was a soap opera. It was a story that riveted the country. Tens of millions of people watching every day, knowing every single detail about the evidence, about the claims, from Mark Furman to Cato Kaelin. It just is top in pop culture, as well as a lesson in the criminal justice system for good and bad.
Let's talk more about the trial, because, again, you were there. You saw this evidence come out. There were photographs of the bodies of Nicole Brown Simpson and of Ronald Goldman. And for those of us who've covered trials, covered murders, you're privy to see some of these things that aren't seen by the general public. They're never good to look at. They're quite haunting. And I haven't seen these photos. I know that you have, at least you did back in the day. Mm-hmm. These were more gruesome than gruesome. These really betrayed the anger or the hate that came out at some point during these killings.
That's exactly right. The hate and anger and rage.
Yeah.
Remember when I was shocked when I saw the photos. They brought us in. First, we would see the photos. It was just a bloody, gruesome, horrendous mess. And you can't show these on television.
Right.
So the American public, even though everyone watched every minute of this trial, viewers were never able to see these photographs. And when I did, the shock and the impact was overwhelming. Poor Nicole was in a fetal position. She was practically decapitated. They had shown that her voice box was cut, severed, her carotid arteries were severed. The knife went almost back to her backbone. So you get the sense of the force of the violence and the knife thrusts. It just wasn't something that simple and clean like you may see on television. The moment I saw that, it all comes together. And for me, it all came together the moment I saw the autopsy photos. This is beyond a murder, a knife. It is an act of utmost violence. And as you just said, hatred. And in some ways, I wish that those, in my view, who doubt this would be able to see see those photos and understand it in context of all of the evidence. You had the blood trail down the walkway at Bundy, at her home. That went right to his Bronco. He had two two-inch cuts on his finger, the middle finger that grabbed the handle of the Bronco to open it. Blood on that handle. Blood from the right hand on the console where you put the Bronco in gear, a shift to drive it to your home. Blood up the trail of his home. Blood on the wooden floor of his home. blood on his socks in the bedroom. To me, the evidence was absolutely overwhelming. And this is what you saw bit by bit. But as you say, in terms of the criminal justice system and reasonable doubt, these the quote, so-called, quote, dream team, through, I believe, some police errors, were able to try and show and were able to successfully show reasonable doubt among with those jurors at that time with that one verdict that they gave. You know, Phil Van Adder, detective, he draws OJ's blood. He's in the police headquarters, the LAPD. He doesn't go down a bucket and put it in immediately. He goes up to OJ's house to meet with some of the technicians. He's got the blood vial in his shirt pocket. That they went down the scored a goal. The defense scored a goal with that, questioning why would you take the blood in a vial to indicate that the blood was at these scenes when it should have been booked. That opened up the reasonable doubt, whether you agree with it or not, with the jury to think, gee, why? Maybe they did, quote, sprinkle or the blood around, which they did not. You know, Mark Furman, the tapes that came out from a screenwriter who for years he had recorded these tapes with the screenwriter about police work, using the N-word, claiming that he planted evidence, you know, devastating to the prosecution case when he was on the stand and he took the fifth when he was asked if he planted evidence in this case. The jury wasn't in the courtroom that day, but the public perception of police, the public perception was just basically destroyed on some of those instances that could have so easily been avoided.
We are speaking with Fox News correspondent Eric Shawn, who back in the 1990s was covering the trial of O.J. Simpson. And now he reacts to his death and whatever legacy there might be. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. And I have to at least posit the question here that some of this all happened in Los Angeles, which just, I think, endured the Rodney King matter as well. So there were racial tensions on the rise. Mm-hmm. And earlier we talked about how O.J. Simpson may have been this magnanimous personality that sort of spanned race. Race didn't seem to matter with him. He was this American success story. But all of a sudden now you have his defense attorneys arguing that race might have played a bit of a factor in some kind of planting of evidence by the LAPD. That also played into this. It tainted this.
That completely did. It was a largely minority jury, and that completely theme spoke to them based on their personal experiences with the LAPD at that time, with the atmosphere at that time. And Johnny Cochran had made a career defending minority victims of police violence. So this was very much the cause of Johnny Cochran. And that's why he was brought in and brought on as part of the team, and why he basically succeeded Robert Shapiro as the chief attorney with that defense theme of police discrimination, planting evidence, acting against black people and this sort of thing. And that resonated with the jury.
And O.J. Simpson would be found to be not guilty to, I think, the shock of so many people, including such as yourself. But the aftermath, well, there was an aftermath. There was a civil suit. Mm-hmm. He was found liable for the deaths. I think if there's one person who was such a personality outside of O.J. Simpson, was that of Fred Goldman, Ron Goldman's father. This man was also on the news all the time. I think Mr. Goldman today, I think his only comment was something along the lines of no big loss.
You have to admire the strength and fortitude of the Goldman family, and I do, and their faith, and Kim, Ron's sister.
Yeah.
Fred was in the courtroom every single day, remembering Ron, standing there for Ron, as well as Nicole's sisters. I've interviewed them multiple times.
Yeah.
The families never gave up. The families always knew. The families were there for their loved ones who were killed so savagely. And I might add, representing domestic victims around the country, I think the legacy of this trial, Evan, in some ways, it has to be remembering the victims of domestic violence. An estimated 1.3 women are victims of domestic violence in our country every year. The stats show 17,000 murders, 17,000 men and women. victims of domestic violence. And I think the legacy of this case is that they often, too often, do not get justice. And in my view, that's obviously what happened in this case.
I guess that's probably a great way to wrap this up, other than just me asking, you know, how does this get written about in history books in 100 years from now? You know, I mean, this is part of American history, whether we like it or not, because it has, I think, all parts in it. It has everything from celebrity downfalls to jurisprudence to crime to, as you mentioned, domestic abuse as a phenomenon. How do we look back at this? And is this finally resolved now that he's dead?
I think that perhaps the families of Ron and Nicole would say that now finally God took justice with the death of O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Or maybe Satan, you know. But they, as we look at the meaning of this case, I think there is a two-tier justice system in our country based on race. We've seen that. At the same time, there's a two-tier justice system based on wealth. O.J. Simpson and his wealth and his ability to get those lawyers at that time, and the ability of lawyers to take certain facts and twist them and try to show them in a different light is really, in some ways, a perversion of justice. And I think that is the final legacy of this case. Money can buy justice in many ways. You know, most defendants in this country don't have millions of dollars to spend for defense lawyers to do all the testing and get the top experts around the country. So you have to think of all those innocent people who are behind bars, who shouldn't be there. At the same time, I think of those people who should be there because of the issue of domestic abuse. We must remember the victims. We must remember Nicole and Ron. And that's how I prefer to remember that experience, OJ.
Fox News correspondent Eric Shawn, who back in the day was all on top of this story. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Of course, Evan. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.